Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy.
Yes.
And for your word. Lord, that we love your word.
Yes.
Lord, we value your word. We come expectant today to receive from you so that we can minister to others, so we can be built up, so that we can grow, so that we can accomplish and fulfill all that you called us to. And we just give you the praise and glory in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So today, if you remember last week, we talked about suffering for the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember. I have notes we can review. And specifically, when we talked about suffering for the Lord, we talked about how we're to partake in his sufferings. And we identified that those sufferings weren't physical sickness or poverty or anything like that, but because of the gospel, right?
Yeah.
How Jesus said that because they hated me, they will what? Also hate you if you believe in him because of what he stands for. Amen? You remember that?
Amen.
Okay,
yes.
Good,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
But our suffering is limited. You don't remember that? Oh my goodness. You can even check it out online for free, but I'm going to. Here's a few scriptures we looked at. Okay. Here's one. Big one right here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. It says, endure hardness or suffering, right? As a good soldier in Christ. Is sometimes you may be placed in a position where the Lord wants you to do something that your flesh doesn't want to do. You know, for example, maybe he wants you to go mow the lawn for your neighbor. You kind of feel impressed in your heart, but your flesh doesn't want to do that, right? Or maybe you want to fight and argue with someone. Or maybe you want to hold unforgiveness towards someone, but these are things that you know you shouldn't do. But your flesh, right, your carnal, fallen nature wants to. Remember, you want to give someone a piece of your mind. Not the born-again part, the other part. The unrenewed part, right? The part that you haven't, you know, someone said, well, if I can just give enough of my mind away, I can renew it. I get rid of all the old part that hasn't been renewed with the word, and then I just have the new part left. No. And when we talk about your mind, you realize that's not your brain.
Mm-mm.
Your brain is not your mind. Just like when we said you got to believe God with your heart, that's not your physical blood pump. That's just an organ. Sometimes I gave him a piece of my mind, and they think that's the brain, but it's not. Your soul... Your soul and your spirit are different.
Yeah.
Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions.
That's right.
Your spirit is the part that's the real you that was born again.
That's right.
And you know the Bible never tells you to renew your spirit?
No.
Because Jesus already did that.
That's right.
When you were born again.
Amen.
But your job is to what? Renew your mind.
Mind.
Or your soul.
Yeah.
And when we talk about suffering, sometimes this suffering is mental anguish that you have to endure. Remember Jesus, like, perfect example, when you are to resist sin, right? You feel like you're suffering. You want to eat that cake, but you know you promised the Lord you would. I told the Lord I wasn't going to eat that. Or I told the Lord this. And so you have a desire of your own that you want something. Your flesh wants something, right? How many ever had their flesh really want something?
Yeah.
Right? More than not want it, that you shouldn't have. Yeah, of course. And Jesus, see, you understand, you have a will. You have what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus had his own will. You say, well, I thought Jesus had to do everything. No, he didn't. He subjected his will or what he wanted to do to what the Father wanted. A perfect example is when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. What did he say? Not my will, but your will be done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see Jesus had a will. And yet he suffered to the degree of resisting his will to where he sweated blood.
Mm. Yeah.
That's some pressure.
That's right.
Sometimes when we're under pressure, what do? We give into it.
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
Right.
We just give in. I just don't want to resist anymore. I'll just give in. Rather than realizing, hey, I'm suffering for the Lord. This is one way, we talked about this, you suffer. Timothy here, he was suffering because he was in a hard position where he was serving the Lord. Actually, 2 Timothy, just so you know, this is where he was the pastor at Ephesus, the Ephesians church. And Nero, in 2 Timothy, he started burning Christians for fun. Because the people liked it. Now, what about you? We say, hey, we're going to chop off your head or burn you at the stake if you claim you're a Christian. Well, this is going to be hard, right? I mean, it's not hard, but in the sense that if you're not committed, what might you do? You might, okay, I'm not a Christian.
Yeah.
There's so much pressure. Or you might leave the country.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Right.
So, but Timothy was the pastor here. And so when Paul tells him, endure hardness, this is not just about chocolate cake, right? This is about you're losing church members. Some are leaving. Some are being burned at the stake. Some are being dismembered for what? Their faith in Christ. I think that's a different kind of hardness, right?
Yeah.
Than you saying, they ran out of my favorite food and I'm suffering for Jesus compared to what they were going through, right?
Right.
It's a different kind of hardness or suffering. But understand that you will be persecuted for your faith in Christ. But these sufferings aren't something that you should shun away from, but something that you embrace because you know it's what? For Him.
Amen.
Because of your faith in Christ.
Right.
And what you do for Him lasts forever. For eternity.
Amen.
You know, it's not like, well, no one's going to remember. Oh, He will remember. And what did Jesus say? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father and the angels.
Right.
So you understand that hey, I ain't going to deny Him.
Hmm.
Right? So that was some of the suffering that they endured. They went through some hardships, some distresses. Remember, Paul was in prison without cable TV. In the Philippian jail. He was in prison for preaching the gospel, for being a witness, for casting out a devil.
Yeah.
Amen. He, you know, you may say, people may say, you know, what's your view on this? What's your view on that? Well, if Jesus said He is the only way to heaven,
amen,
then He is the only way. There's not many ways.
Yeah.
There's not unknowns that we don't know about. Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
That's right.
So for someone else to say, well, you just never know. Yes, I do know.
That's right.
It's not even my words. It's His words.
That's right.
But people may not like that, so you may suffer as a result of your faith in Christ. But this is not even your words. This is what He said. Amen.
Amen.
So when people go, well, you don't know, there's many different ways to heaven. Yeah, I do know. Because Jesus said He was what? The only way. He didn't say there was many ways. He said there are many ways that lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in that sense, there's many ways. But we don't want to go there. We want to go to life. And He said what? There's only one way. That's through Him. Amen? But we weren't going to talk about that today. So we're going to talk about, and this is really key because how much you can suffer. You know, we talk, like, when you first start exercising, maybe you can just do one push-up or one sit-up. Maybe a half a sit-up, right? Maybe you just, like, kind of roll up a little bit, right? And then your body can't take it anymore. So then you got to work at it, and you can build some tolerance, right? Your tolerance for pain increases. Amen? And then pretty soon you can get up to like 2 or 3 or 5 or what have you. And so in the same way, though, that's when you, if you look at your suffering muscles for Jesus, remember, and this is really about love, because the very first thing that we read about, love is what?
Patient.
Love suffers long. It's long suffering, the God kind of love. So we want to extreme patience. Love is patient. Love is kind, right? But if you look at that, one of the things about love is that it's long suffering. Not short suffering, long suffering. But why do we fail to suffer long? Sometimes, and what we talked about a little bit about last week was because maybe we're hurting already. And if we're already hurting, we don't want to what? Suffer anymore. I'm done suffering. You ever been to the place where you think, Lord, just take me home. I'm done. I think I'm done. But you're still here, right? Thank the Lord that he didn't answer that prayer.
Right? Yes.
I don't think there'd be anybody left. Everybody would be gone. I'm fed up. I'm gone. Let me go home, right? Whatever. Everybody would be gone. Everybody. Look around. Nobody would be here. If the Lord answered that prayer, everyone would be gone already. Right? Everybody. Everybody. Because everybody said, what's the point, right? But what happened is, not a physical suffering, but at some point, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions was in pain, right? And if you look at Psalms 23, I think this is key for a Christian, right, to understand this, for a Christian believer, because you and I, we are constantly under attack by the enemy.
Right? Yeah.
And so we need to identify in some respect which way he attacks us. So we know, so we can close that door and not open it to him. But Psalms 23:3. Or we can start with Psalms 23, verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. Again, your soul is not your spirit here. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? And here it says that the Lord restores your soul. Mm. So the thought would be, at some point, your soul will need restoration or strength or life or energy. To restore it means to put it back to like it originally was, right? Original condition. So if he had to restore my soul, that means at some point my soul suffered. It suffered something. It suffered some pain. It suffered some hardship. It suffered some hurt. And because of that hurt, it needs what? Restoration. Amen? And you recognize that the enemy is always after your soul. Not necessarily your spirit, but your soul. The reason is because if he can get a stronghold in your mind, he can kind of control you. Amen?
Yeah.
And actually what's really interesting is that when you look at the word devil, it actually means one who penetrates with words, something like that. Who penetrates with words. So you understand that he's constantly attacking your soul with thoughts or words. And he's looking for a weak point, right? And if he can't get in, then he'll bring somebody along to help, hurt you, call you a name. Anybody get called names when they were kids?
Yeah.
Why do kids call each other names? They're just being used by the enemy, right?
Yeah.
Not knowingly. But then those names, you know, you think about them and people call you names and they keep penetrating and those keep coming up in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions. And it affects you to where you can be hurt. And then you're not the same person because of that wound. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And but the Lord, what does he want to do? He said he wants to restore your soul. The way I look at it, it's like this, is you have this, has anybody ever been to a castle, like a real castle, right? Those castles have these huge walls, right?
Yeah.
They're high and they're thick, and a whole bunch of rooms inside. Okay, the key is to keep the enemy on the outside. right?
Right.
So you got soldiers, archers, whatever, up on the walls. You got these big gates, right? You got these gates. You got to close the gates, put the big beam down over it, reinforce the gates. Why? Because you don't want the enemy getting inside the castle. Because the castle is your stronghold. Mm-hmm. But if the enemy gets in, then it becomes what? His stronghold. Because then he can reinforce the gates. Right? Sometimes what's happened is that the enemy gets in, say we're young, we're little, we're just children, and he bombards you with these thoughts and these quote feelings, these emotions to make you think you're something or you can't do something. Like, remember all the things you thought you could do but you never did? Right? Like, I was thinking, like, I can do that. You know, you just have a liking for something. That's a good thing, right? I'm going to do this. And then you can't do that. You can never do that. You can't be that. You can't do that. And then you start taking this thought, and then years go by, and you realize, why did I ever stop doing that? Why did I ever stop believing I could do that? Because at some point, the enemy got in. Like, if I said, how many of you want to learn another language? You'd think, yeah, how many want to learn Russian? Okay. Right? That sounds good. That's a cool language. Right? And then this thought comes, you could never learn Russian. Well, I want to be a missionary with you. I think it would be great. Not you. Like, where did that thought come from? And say that happened when you were a young child. Right? Then 10 years goes by, 20 years goes by. And that thought's always remained there, and it became what? Like a stronghold. Mm-hmm. So today, if I said, hey, why don't you learn Russian? Ah, the next thought, you're too old. Mm-hmm. You can't learn it now, it's too late. Mm-hmm. But it's not true.
No.
See, it's not true, but somewhere along the course of your life, there's these thoughts that came in, and it broke down or broke through into your mind, affected your emotions, right? It affected your will, and then it became a stronghold in your own mind against you. Like when the enemy tells you, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So you got, the only thing that told you you couldn't do that was the enemy. Because the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Because he's your strength.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
When the enemy says you can never achieve that, who told you that? Where did that come from? It's just a thought. And he bombards you with these thoughts to weaken you. And then to try to get control or build a stronghold in what? Your mind in that specific area.
Yeah.
Amen? So here's some things, not all, but just some things that we can allow hurt into our mind, our soul. And let me say this. I said, he restores my soul, S-O-U-L, mm-hmm. right? But he is the soul restorer, S-O-L-E. Meaning, he's the only one who can restore your soul.
That's right.
Don't pay people a bunch of money to try to restore your soul.
Mm.
He can do it. They can't.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And he does it for free.
Yeah.
So look at this. Sometimes we can allow these hurts because we felt betrayed. Anybody ever been betrayed? Did the Lord betray you?
No.
Or was it a person?
A person.
Like you. People, right? Sometimes we could feel we need restoration or make us whole again because we failed in an area. We failed. And so the enemy said, you're a failure. That's what you are, right? Sometimes it's because we suffered disappointment. We just gave up. We're so disappointed. We had so much expectations. And it didn't work out, so what do? We just quit. It's like, get it.
Yeah.
Not good, but that's what we've done, right? We could have done that. Or we could have allowed unforgiveness in. So our life is consumed about our anger over this hurt that we feel like somebody betrayed us and we haven't let it go, right? And that allows doors or allows the enemy to hurt and harm us. So these are just some things. But the good news is that Jesus is the one who will restore and heal up our broken heart. When we say broken heart, it's referring to the soul, right? Here's some scripture. Look at Psalms 147, verse 3. It says this, he heals the brokenhearted, right? And he binds up their wounds. Amen. He will heal the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, ah, my heart hurts. Good, you're a candidate for Jesus to heal you.
Amen.
Amen. And he binds up their wounds. Yeah. If you were wounded, he will bind you up.
That's good.
He will help take care of you, just like a shepherd, right? On a sheep. You know, what kind of shepherd do you think it would be if that shepherd had a bunch of sheep who are hurt, missing, bleeding, just following him? You think, man, that shepherd needs to help bind up those sheep. They're hurting, right? And Jesus is the good shepherd. He won't let you, if you allow him, he won't let you stay hurting. Amen?
Yeah.
He'll heal you.
Yes.
He'll bind you up.
Yes.
So it says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up the wounds. Look at Psalms 34, 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are of a crushed spirit. Mm-hmm. Spirit is not your born again spirit there, but your soul. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you are brokenhearted, the Lord is close to you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, nobody, you got to understand, he understands.
Yes,
right?
He does.
He understands because he was crushed.
Yeah.
He was bruised. He was hurt so that you could be healed.
Amen.
See, this is important. You need to know this. It's like whatever's happened, it's in the past. Yeah, it's in the past and it might have happened. Well, allow him to bind you up, to heal you, right? Allow him to walk you through the healing process. Mm-hmm. Amen? Look at Proverbs 3:3. This is part of, before we go, look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, let's look at that. Isaiah 61, and we'll look at verse 1. Isaiah 61:1. It says this, it's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal, what? The brokenhearted. Those who are hurting, he was sent to heal. Now, this isn't just talking about being born again, because you know, after you got saved, you're saved, but your mind could still have some working on to do. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
So here he says that he sent him. The purpose he came, one purpose, is he came to heal the brokenhearted. That means you don't have to stay broken anymore. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
And this is great news. Our part, well, just go to verse 3. Keep going. Look at verse 3. Isaiah 61, verse 3. He says, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness or people of righteousness. Right? Now, I'll tell you this. One thing the enemy's always trying to do is to make you sad and depressed. Mm-hmm. You realize when you're sad and depressed, your emotions, your soul, you know, remember David said, soul? He's talking to himself. Why are you so depressed? Mm-hmm. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Mm-hmm. Then he gave him instructions. Put your confidence in God.
That's good.
So you got David talking to his soul.
Yeah.
Soul.
Yeah.
His spirit, his heart, the real him, talking to his mind. Hey, mind, why are you so sad? Mm. Well, don't you see everything going on? I see it. But put your trust in God. Mm. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above all the brethren, anyone else.
Yeah.
But he's got enough oil of joy for you too. Amen?
Amen.
And he, when and you're sad, you know, the Bible says, put on. I don't want to be fake. No, I'm just going to be real. Well, what's more real than the Word of God?
Come on.
Right?
Yes.
He said, put on the spirit of, put on the garment of praise. Woo. For a heavy spirit. Mm. Or when you're sad or depressed, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to start praising God.
Yeah.
Be a put on. Just be phony. Phony for a little while, right? When you do that, here's what he says happens. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When you start to do that, that praise releases joy, which starts to heal your mind, your emotions, your will. It brings healing, right? This is what he said, the oil of joy, right? The balm or the salve or the ointment, right? You know, you could say he will give you this ointment when you're oppressed. When you're oppressed, you should start recognizing. I mean, I know it feels good to be oppressed and feel down and feel sad. Your flesh really likes it. I understand. Yeah. My flesh does. If I yield to it, I can be so happy that I can start getting depressed. They're like, what are you being depressed about? Because it feels so good. I don't do drugs. I just get depressed. It's like, it just feels good. It's easy for your flesh to get depressed, right?
Yeah.
But what are you supposed to do? You got to recognize this is a trap of the enemy. He's trying to get you depressed so he can get a stronghold inside your mind, right?
Yeah.
So he can control you. So he can bring thoughts to you. So he can, like, just work on you. And the sad thing is you and I, we don't have to be that way. Amen? Mm-hmm. If we would start shouting for joy.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Hallelujah.
You know, when you're sad, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I have. When I've been sad or tempted to be sad, I know the solution is to shout for joy.
Yes.
That's the solution.
Yeah.
And it takes some strength. I mean, I don't have to do it in front of people. I can just go get my car. But to start shouting for joy.
Hallelujah.
For just not because you're shouting for joy. Does it? What does that mean? Yeah. Hey, joy! Come over here! You hear me? I'm shouting for you. Right? You shout for joy. Joy! Where you at? I need you. Hurry up. You understand? Shout for joy. It's not there. Obvious. Of course it's not there, but the Bible says what? Call things which be not.
Yes.
That's all there. We walk by faith
and not by
how we feel. Right? Because if you just walk by how you feel, you'd be in such shape. I'd be in such shape. That's why the Bible says shout for joy.
Yeah.
Right? Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Ooh. Amen? So we understand this thing. Look at Proverbs 3:3. Mm. Proverbs 3:3 says this. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. You are to bind them about your neck, around you, write them upon the table of your heart. So when our soul is overwhelmed or in pain, remember the truth of the word of God and his mercy that is available to you. You and I should be constantly thinking about this mercy and his truth. This is our part that we have to do. When there's something going on in our life, when we recognize the enemies coming, trying to batter us. You know, actually, that word, when you look at your adversary, the devil, it says that he tries to drill, really what it means is to drill through your mind. Mm. Like Swiss cheese. You ever see Swiss cheese? It's got holes all over in it. This is what he actually tries to do. Tries to come in this way and come in that way. And come in this way. If he can't go through this side, he'll try to use your loved one over here. Can't get through that loved one, he'll get through a teacher, pastor, not me, but someone else, right? Somebody to affect you to try to get an angle in through your mind so he can get what? A foothold.
Yeah.
So you need to know this. Mm-hmm. And when you start feeling depressed or there's thoughts that come, that's an attack. You don't like, well, this is normal. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Look at Romans chapter 12. So when I see this, I recognize, hey, don't let mercy forsake you. What does that mean? When you messed up, when you've missed God, right? You got to go to Psalms 103. Oh, man, his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Every morning I get mercy.
Yes.
Or bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all his benefits. Right? You need to know that. Who forgives all your iniquities. See, the devil's going to not remind you of that one.
Yeah.
He's not going to remind you, oh man, you can get forgiven of that. He ain't going to tell you that. He's going to say, oh, there's no hope for you. You did it again. Right? Instead, you go to the Word and you say, who, what does he do? He restores my soul. Lord, forgive me. You said here, not how I feel, but yeah. You said right here, Psalm 103, remember, forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities.
Yeah.
Right? Heals all your disease.
Right.
Now, this is what's interesting. I don't know if you realize this. But do you know when Jesus told the man with the withered hand, he asked all the preachers, the Pharisees in the room, right? That's what they were. He said, which is it harder, to forgive sins or to heal? Mm. And they're like, And Jesus said, well, just to show you, right, that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, he says, stretch forth your hand to the man with the withered hand, right? And his hand grew up, and he was healed. And they're all amazed, and they're angry, right? But think about this. This is what you got to get. Jesus is saying it's not any harder to forgive sins or to heal because sickness is a result of sin. Mm-hmm. I could heal. By healing, it's just like forgiving sins because that's how sin came. That's, sickness and disease came through the fall or through sin. So when you realize your sins have been forgiven, what would that mean to you? You should be healed. Because if he could forgive the sins, you know, the sickness came out of the sin, was born through sin, right? You follow me?
Yeah.
So if he could forgive the sin, what should happen to the sickness?
Gone.
Should be gone.
Yes.
Because it came from the sin. The sin was the hard part. The sickness was the smaller part. So if he could, by healing, he's saying what? By healing, he's saying, you're forgiven. Because
Hallelujah.
The sickness came from the sin.
That's good.
Not that man's sin, but sin as a whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, stretch forth your hand. So when he was healed, he's like, oh, Jesus? Then Jesus said what? Your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Because the sickness came from sin. So you can't get healed unless you were what? Forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Back then.
Mm-hmm.
But as a believer, your sins have been washed away.
Yeah.
So what should that mean for sickness and disease?
It's washed away.
It's washed away. It should be something that you resist, not that you hug and hold and embrace, right? You can resist it. And you believe God that, hey, he took that for me.
Yeah.
So you look at Romans 12. Romans 12. As we allow the Lord to restore our soul, this is what he does. He says he binds up the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know this. Have you ever got an owie or a boo-boo or something? And you kept peeling off the band-aid to see if it was healed? And one time you peeled it off and you took off the scab with it. Okay, it's not ready. Ever do that?
Yeah.
You're like, why did I do that? I know I've done that before. Sometimes the Lord's healing us. And you know what we do? We keep unwrapping the healing. And by what we're thinking, you know, we bring things back up that we supposedly already forgot, or the enemy will remind us of things to say, look at that, look at that. Look what they did to you. Remember what they did to you? And yet the Lord's already what? Working on healing you from that. And instead of allowing him to finish the healing, what do? You pull it off. Oops, it wasn't ready. Bad move, right? How do you know it's not ready? It hurts. Ever picked the scab that wasn't completely healed? You know, I'm not trying to be crude, but what you do is you work your way around the edges, right? You think, okay, that didn't hurt, that didn't hurt, that didn't hurt. Pretty much healed, and you pull off the middle, and think, oh, it's not healed yet. That hurts. Anybody ever done that? Except me, right? Usually when I was just a kid. So now what happens? As a kid, I know, oh, that didn't work because that hurt. But as I grow older and I get some experience or some wisdom, I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I almost let the thing fall off if I get an owie. Because I've matured in that area, right? Just like when there's things that hurt you when you were young, as you grow older, you should realize, older in the Lord, hey, that is not a big deal. I'm going to let that heal in my life, right? I'm going to let the Lord heal me of that broken area. That's so good. My soul can be restored, right?
Amen.
So I can serve Him without any pain.
Wow.
So I can serve Him fully, right?
Yes.
Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. It says this. It says, verse 2, don't, and we've read this before, but in this context, I want us to look at it. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now notice again, he's talking about your mind, or your soul, or your will, or your emotions, right? It says, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed. So, when I see formed, and the word transformed, that means there could be something there that's formed in your mind. Mm. And he wants to like transform it from what it is currently to what he wants it to be. Something else. Mm. Say if there was something was broken, you want to transform it from broken to restored or to whole. Remember the toy transformers? Remember those? They look like something and then they mess around with it and they reconfigure it and it becomes something else. You know, the devil's trying to transform you or conform you to the world.
Yeah.
But God wants to transform you. From, say, man, I had this problem, my heart was hurt, whatever. He wants to transform you from that hurt to total health, to total healing, right?
Amen.
But to do that, here's what you need. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How do you know what's the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God? How do you know? Where do you find that? Do you find it on some spiritual hotline, on the internet, or what do? You find it through the what? Through the Word.
That's right.
Now here's what's interesting, right? If you find it through the Word, this is what he says, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know as a perfect, good, and acceptable will of God. Mm-hmm. So there, here, what is the good, what's acceptable, and what's perfect? Mm. You know, you might want something for your kids, which is good. But they might accept less than that, right? And it may not be close to perfect. Mm. True?
Yeah.
And here the Bible says we want to discover, God wants you to discover not just what's good and what's acceptable, but His perfect will. What's perfect. So that means you could have less than perfect. And you could have more than good. Mm-hmm. Right? You could have even better. But if it's through the Word of God, what's another way we could say that? Another way we could say that is that we may transform our minds by or through, who is the Word? Jesus. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus. And the reason we use that term is because He is the Good Shepherd. He is the one who wants to, what? Restore your soul. Through the Word, or through Jesus, you get your soul restored. Amen? But apart from the Word, there is no restoration.
No.
Even if, you know, and it's amazing to me how, I just think about this. If His Word is life, and it's light, and it's love, right? All these things we say we want. Amen? If His Word is medicine, if something was broken or hurting, and the doctor told you, take this medicine every day, for the next 30 days, and you'll be well. What would you do? Okay, I'll take it. And yet, God's word is medicine. And He says, take this, it will heal your mind.
Amen.
It'll restore your soul.
Yeah.
It'll transform you, not just from what's acceptable or good, but to His perfect will, what He wants for your life.
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
Yet, people often don't want to take the word. Listen to me. This is really important. He is the restorer of your soul. All you got to know, I mean, that's the word. He restores my soul. If your soul's giving you problems, what scripture should you be quoting? He's my soul restorer.
Yeah.
Not only my S-O-U-L,
yeah,
but my S-O-L-E restorer. He's the one that will restore my soul. And the devil will tell you, you can't do it. It's too late. It's too gone, man. There's, oh, you got such problems. I'm glad I'm not you. You don't got to worry about that. You just have to go back and get your medicine. Yes. Right?
Amen.
He restores my soul.
Yes.
That's some medicine. I'm going to take a double dose because you can't overdose. Right? He restores my soul.
Yes.
He, say this with me. He restores my soul.
He restores my soul.
He heals my broken heart.
He heals my broken heart.
Amen. He binds up my wounds.
He binds up my wounds.
The Lord makes me strong.
The Lord makes me strong.
Amen. If you just said that every day, but you start believing it, and you look at it, He restores my soul. Someone, well, so-and-so lost their mind. They lost their, that's not me.
That's not me.
He restores my soul.
That's right.
Maybe so-and-so didn't know this. Right? But you got to get it every day. You look at it and you say, I messed up so many times. The devil told me I'm just no good. Yeah, that might have been so. But He said His mercies are new every morning. He forgives all your iniquities. Thank you, Lord, for restoring my soul.
Yes.
What are you doing? One thing you're doing, when you're doing that, and you had a castle with walls, and there's holes in these walls, and the enemy's coming in, you start patching up holes. You understand? You start reinforcing the walls. You start kicking the enemy out. You retake the castle, so to speak. Amen?
Amen?
You get God's word. The enemy can't resist the word. So you get His word, and you restore your soul. Put it back like it used to be before it got broken to. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, we do it all the time. They restore cars. They restore homes. Mm. Amen?
Yeah.
You never see, hey, what's wrong? This car looks ugly. Yeah, I had a restoration done. It's all rust and it's all dirty. No, that's the restoration. No, that wouldn't make sense. When they restore something, they make it like new.
Yes.
When God restores your soul, it's like new.
Amen.
Amen? He puts it back to where it's undamaged. And you are to guard it. And you guard it through the word. Amen?
Amen?
And once you start doing that, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. You focus. He, who's He? That's the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the good shepherd.
Yeah.
He's good. Why? Because He restores my soul.
Yes, yes.
It's one reason. You start focusing on that. You start dwelling on that. And it puts you in a different place. Because He will restore your soul.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. Then what are you going to do without a broken heart? You're not broken anymore. What do? Well, you go serve Him in a greater way, in a bigger way. You talk to other people. Mm-hmm. Amen? He can use you more. You can build more rewards. Amen? In heaven. Serving Him more. He restores your soul. Just like I told you last week, my friend who always calls himself a sinner. I'm like, you're not a sinner anymore. You used to be. I'm not saying this guy's perfect, because he tells me what he does. I'm like, hey, dude, don't do that. That's going to cause you some soul problems.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he understands how much God loves people. And so he'll go pray for people, because, you know, he had lupus or some disease like that, and the Lord healed him. So for healing, he can believe.
Yeah.
I mean, people in car accidents, had strokes, all kinds of things. He go pray for them, and the Lord will heal them. Yet, in not him, but the people he's praying for. And yet, in his mind, he says, I'm just no good. I'm still a sinner. Why? Because my wife calls me a sinner. It's like, okay, well. In this case, don't listen to your wife. Listen to the word, right? I was like, you're not a sinner anymore. You've become a child of God.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Same for you. If my wife called me a sinner, I don't know what I would do. I'll have to think about that, to be honest. Oh, we have to
she
talk.
Wouldn't call you a sinner.
We have to talk about this. We have to talk about this. But you understand, you always go to the Word.
Yeah.
That's where your restoration is. It's in the Word.
That's right.
Just, I mean, that's why we have read our chapter a day. Why? Because it brings you life. It starts restoring your mind.
Yeah.
It starts making you stronger.
Yes.
Just like when you take medicine, you don't feel stronger immediately, right? Mm-hmm. You don't feel like, oh, I took it one time. This is great. No, you take it and you take it and you take it for a certain amount of time. And then they say, okay, now you should have recovered.
Yeah.
And the Lord is our what? Healer.
Yeah.
Healer is also a process. You understand? Something I thought was interesting, I'll close with this. You know, you got to give the Lord some time to restore you. And you got to be faithful just to read His Word. Yeah. To bind His Word, what does bind mean? Wrap it around you, you know, in a sense. You carry it with you on your phone. Set your alarm every day. I'm going to read this chapter. I'm going to take my spiritual medicine every day at this time. Because it's going to make an impact in your body. And healing is progressive. Restoration is progressive. It's not microwaved. You didn't microwave your soul until it's cooked fine. It's healing. Somebody said, well, we got doctors. What do we need God for? Okay, big question, right? Okay, fine. You got technology to fix something that went bad, but you are not being healed. Healing is a process. If something wasn't working, they could fix it, right? Like you broke something. Okay, now you got to go home and let it what? Heal. Where did that healing come from? Well, it's built into me. Well, who built it? It was the Lord. Mm-hmm. Healing is a process. Restoration is a process. You need to stick with it until it's what? Fully restored.
That's good.
Amen? So Amen. Read your chapter. Keep stating, the Lord is my healer. He restores my soul.
Yeah.
And then let me say, everybody but you. No, me too.
Yes.
Me too. Yes. You understand? Don't let them lie to you. Don't let them poke holes in your brain, you know, in your mind. Not your brain, but your mind. With his words, you know, actually, if you guys can get this picture, this is my second close. The enemy uses words to pierce your soul or your mind. Just like a spear or a sword or a javelin or something of that nature, to pierce it through. You don't need to accept those thoughts or those words. You need to strengthen or fortify the walls of your soul. And you do that with the Word. Amen? That's all He can do to you. It's just make threats. He can't actually do anything to you unless you don't fortify your thoughts with the Word of God. Amen? So when He comes, He says, I'm just hurt. I understand. Well, let's start the restoration process. He can do it. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He, the Lord of glory, restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Right? You can go on for an hour. But after that hour, you're not going to be weak.
No.
You're going to be, man, I'm ready. Right? I'm going to stay strong. Amen. All right, well, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you are the great restorer.
Yes.
The soul. The only one who can restore our soul. You do it through your word. We thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the word which wherewith our souls are restored.
Yes.
Lord, and that is a process. But you can do it quickly. And it may take some time. But in either case, Lord, you will finish the job. And we thank you for that. We'll work with you. Lord, we'll renew our mind. We'll resist the enemy. We'll receive your word and the promptings of your spirit. Lord, we thank you for binding us up. And we'll allow the healing to occur. We'll allow the healing to take place. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you what. You know, when the enemy tells you you won't make it, that's an attack. They'll always overcome.
That's right.
You understand? Yeah. I'll make it because he's with me.
Yes.
Jason, you got to restore. When a thought comes that's contrary to the word, you immediately reinforce your life with God's word against that thought. Amen.
Yes.
When he tells you you won't have enough, what do? My God will always supply.
That's right.
All that I need.
Yeah.
You got to reinforce it.
Yeah.
It's an attack. We just look at it. It's just a normal thing. No, because we've been attacked so much, we don't realize it's an attack. You're living in an attack. You don't even realize it because it's always an attack. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get ready to take up our offering. And if you need an envelope, raise your hand. And if you're making a check, you can just make it to FCC. And you know, one area where we believe, of course, that the Lord is faithful, that as we sow, as we give, he always multiplies back to us. Amen? And the enemy, he will tell you, you don't have enough. See, again, this goes back to seed. Someone said, where do I go? I got problems. You have a seed. Any seed can grow or produce.
Yeah.
I have this little fruit tree next to my house. It was supposed to not get so big, but now it's growing into the neighbor's house. Like almost literally into the neighbor's house. It is into the neighbor's house. But I'm like, I cut it back once, but it grew back more.
Yeah.
And there's so many, like, of these, you know, we had a little cold spell, and so many of these fruits dropping on the ground. But there's hundreds, maybe thousands of them. But that tree came from just a little, what? A seed. And I used to get excited when it was time to eat them. Come on, man, look what I get to eat. But then you eat so many, you don't want them anymore. Right? Anybody do that? You got so many, you just don't want them. And in a way, when you got a problem, the way out, you just believe God. The devil will tell you there's no way out. There's a way out. You start with something small.
Yeah.
A small step of obedience. I'm not talking just giving. I mean, in action. Whatever the Lord tells you to do. Investing something. Doing something. It's a seed. And as you follow him, he'll get you out. He'll promote you. He'll bring you up. Amen? And just be sure you give him all the praise and glory when he does that.
Yes. Amen? Yes.
Okay, let's pray over our offering. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give. And we give today with a happy, cheerful, glad heart, Lord, knowing that whatever we sow, we will also reap. But we give with great joy, Lord, because we know that as even something small, or what the world might consider insignificant, Lord, to you it's a great thing. It's a big thing. And we just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give. And as we give, we know we'll see miracles. We'll see your presence, and that you will provide for us in every area and everything in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, if you ask, why is the seed important? Here's an example. Remember when Jesus fed the multitudes? And they're in the middle of the desert, right? Remember that story? And he said, anybody have anything to eat? Remember that? And they said, we got nowhere to buy bread. There's no stores. And we're in the middle of a desert. They don't have drones. They can't order it online, right? And what did Jesus say? Oh, there's a boy here who's got a few small fish and a few loaves. And Jesus took it, and he gave thanks for it. He blessed it, and then he gave it, right? And it said it multiplied and grew to where everybody's needs were met. See, here's the thing. A small thing to man is a big thing to God. Why? What you have, be thankful for. Jesus didn't look at those, you know, two small fish and loaves of bread or what have you and go, oh, this is nothing. What can we do with this? Who's all the cheapos out there that, you know, ain't giving nothing, right? He didn't do that. What did he do? He thanked God for something that seemed so small. And he took it, he gave thanks for it, and then he gave it. Just like you. You could have something you think is small, but it's not. It might be small in your hands, but as you give it to the Lord, you thank you, Lord, for this. Get excited about it, right? And you give it, then he'll multiply it back to you.
In your life.
So what happened to that little boy? Remember they had to take up 12 baskets full?
Yeah.
That boy's like, I got a business now, man. I'm going to sell some stuff. Man, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Don't you know? I mean, I was that kid. I'm selling some of this. This they're going to need some food for when they go back home. I'm selling this right here. 10 baskets I'm selling. I'll tithe, you know, on 1.2 baskets or whatever. And then I'm just keeping the rest. Going to buy me a camel when I get back. Anyway. All right. Any announcements?
No, it's okay.
Okay. I think that's it. So God bless y'all. Thank you for coming out. Greet one another on the way. Okay?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.